discuss tonight based on Mark Frankel's idea. Halakhic and Hashkafic framework to try to increase the kavana in those parts of the davening that the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim mention are absolutely essential that the kavana be had during their recital. And of the three main sections that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in different sections, this is two out of the three. The first pasuk of Kriya Shema, or perhaps we could expand it to the first two pasukim of Kriya Shema, as the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah rule. The first Bracha Shmoneh Esrei, and the third, which is maybe different miniseries, but I guess there's not as much to be said about it, but Poseach Eshizecha must be Elchol Chai Ratzon, which the Mishnah Berurah also records, based on a Gemara in Shabbos, that that passage in Ashrei, in Pesukei Dezimra, one is really supposed to focus on. So Baruch Hashem, the Bet HaSidurim highlight them. The article, for example, says, right, Poseach Eshizecha, intensely concentrate on this verse.
The original articles there, before the old Hebrew version. Actually, the old Hebrew version as well.
Goes fast if you read in English. So just to describe how right away appears that Kriya Shema is somewhat different from all of the mitzvot in terms of what exactly we mean by the word kavana is just an introduction. Of course, this is all taken from the classic poskim. Immediately before reciting the Shema, says here in the vintage article sitter, concentrate on fulfilling the positive commandment of reciting the Shema every morning. It is important to enunciate each word clearly, not to run words together. So you have here the general idea of kavana mitzvos, which appears in a few places in Shas. It's actually a dispute whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana. And the Shulchan Aruch rules definitively, even though it's a massive dispute in the Rishonim at a paskin, but the Shulchan Aruch records definitively in Sinan Samach in Orach Chaim that mitzvos tzrichas kavana. So hence you have this line immediately before reciting the Shema. Concentrate on fulfilling the positive commandment of reciting the Shema every morning. Much as, when before one shakes a lulav, one is supposed to positively concentrate in the midst of shaking that Hashem commanded us to take the dalad minim. And before one partakes of matzah, one is supposed to have in mind that one is fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. And so on and so forth concerning all the other mitzvahs. There's a dispute amongst the poskim whether or not your yotzei a mitzvah bein odom lachavero, if you don't have kavana. There are many sources back and forth on this. The Gemara indicates that if you drop a dollar and a poor man picks it up, even though you don't know about it, you're yotzei mitzvah tzedakah. So it sounds like you don't need kavana. But everyone agrees that lechatchila should have kavana for that too. That means before you put the money in the pushka, before you write out a check to an organization or someone at the door, you should have in mind that mechaving to fulfill this action, the mitzvah of tzedakah. But then, when we go further in the article introductions here, so it says, recite the first verse aloud with the right hand covering the eyes and intensely concentrate upon accepting God's absolute sovereignty. Which is an English translation of Kabbalah Shalom HaShemayim. So just as you read the introductory instructions, you right away see that there are two kavanas here. You have intensely concentrate, that's obviously a reference to kavana, and then immediately before reciting Shema, concentrate on fulfilling, that's also kavana. So this duality of kavana is something that Rabbi Soloveitchik as a tzal, and this some chapters are more down to earth than others. It's a highly halachic, philosophical, theological work, but the perek on this particular topic in worship of the heart, based on Rabbi Soloveitchik's writings and shiurim, etc., highlights this idea explicitly, and he expresses it very beautifully. We're going to come back to that in a moment or two. But just to, again, to review what we mean by these two kavanos. There is a general shas machlokis, as we mentioned, where the mitzvah tzrichas kavana, ain't tzrichas kavana. Everyone agrees l'chachila, on the outset, when you do an action, you're supposed to have in mind that you're fulfilling a divine commandment and not just do the action. Everyone would agree to that, that's the proper practice. But whereas one opinion in the Gemara and half of the Rishonim paskin that even if you didn't do that, provided you did the action, so by the average you would not have to repeat the mitzvah once you already did it. So if I blew the shofar, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, to practice, and it happens to be, I blew it kiyah shvarim through its kiyah, I have in mind to be out to the mitzvah. I thought I would be blowing shofar later, I thought I'd be hearing shofar, and lo and behold, I don't get a chance to hear in shul. So retroactively, you would be yotze according to one opinion in the Gemara, and we paskin like the more strict opinion, the mitzvah svichas kavana. If you didn't have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah, you're not yotze, and you would have to do it again. That's in terms of the core kavana, just to be yotze the mitzvah. Mitzvah svichas kavana. We rule according to the Mishnah Berurah's ruling, even though the Magen Ram argues that this is true for mitzvahs d'rabbanan as well. So Kriya Shema is no exception to the rule. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, at least regarding that kavanah, that means that before you recite the Kriya Shema, you have to have in mind to be yotzei. The contrast with that would be, as the Mishnah Brachas records, I don't have it in front of me, it's fine. I think it's the third parak maybe, that the Mishnah records that, let's say you're checking over Sefer Torah and you happen to be reading Parashas Vaschanan, and you start reading Shema Yisrael, etc. So the Mishnah says, "In kivein libo yotza." So the simplest reading of that Mishnah, let's come back to it though, the simplest reading of the analysis on that Mishnah in the Gemara is that you have to have kavana to be yotze. If you just have in mind to read the words for purpose of correcting the Sefer Torah, but not to fulfill the mitzvah Shema, you're not yotze. So that's the most basic level of kavana. So here, it's important to keep in mind that at least for Bidyevet, in terms of that, the Chai Adam has a very fascinating leniency in this regard that has very wide-ranging effects and ramifications, and that is that the only time that that's Ma'akev, not having Kavana, is where it's not abundantly clear in the setting in which it's done that you're doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. For example, the Gemara's examples of mitzvos Tzvichas Kavana, Ein Tzvichas Kavana, the examples that provide the cases for dispute, it's always a case where you had some kind of ulterior motive. The Gemara discusses the case of Tokei Lashir, blowing a shofar in order to sound musical instruments. Kori Lagia, you're reading Kriya Shema in the Torah in order to correct the Torah. The Gemara has similar examples, let's say, concerning Matzah, that you weren't eating it L'shem Mitzvah Matzah, you were eating it in some totally other context. A person in jail, they stuffed Matzah down his throat, or whatever the case is. There's some other context that's not Mitzvah-oriented. But if you have a Mitzvah-oriented context, even though you didn't say or mentally think, Hineni Muchnam Zuman L'kayim Mitzvah Hashem, here I'm prepared to fulfill a Mitzvah, the environment in which it's done says that that's why you're doing it. So, applying that, let's say, to lulav, that would mean that if you're in shul, and it's right before halal, and you make a bracha, which also helps, but even without the bracha, per se, and you take the four minim, and then you shake in exactly the prescribed way, in shul, at the right spot. So why else are you doing it, if not for the mitzvah Hashem? So even though you didn't have specific intention, hineni muchanam zuman, l'kayim mitzvah Hashem, Hasidic practice actually make it explicit, actually saying it. The non-Hasidic practice was to have it in mind. But even if you didn't have it in mind, so the Chai Adam says, but if the context in which you're doing it is clearly mitzvah related, it's not that you happen to be holding the lulav and etzrig, you know, on your way to shul, so then you're yotzei b'dieved. So applying that to Kriya Shema, the Mishnah Berurah records, that if you read Kriya Shema at the right time, right sandwiched in between the brachos, yotzei or an avarav on the one hand and gol yisrael on the other, so it's clear that you're doing it in order to kind of mitzvah Shema. So therefore, that first level of kavana, to be out to the mitzvah, even though we rule definitively in Shulchan Aruch that it's ma'akev, it's crucial, but if it's done in a context where it's clear it's for a mitzvah, so it's not as crucial. Everyone agrees that it's proper not to rely on that chayyadam l'chachila, for the simple reason being that one of the ideas of Mitzvah Tzvichas Kavana is to focus on the fact that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So even if by the skin of our teeth we can get away with it, by the fact that, yeah, it's in the context, so it's as if we're focusing, but of course it's proper to take a second out before the recital of the Shema, to have in mind that one is fulfilling a Torah commandment, both in the morning and in the evening, before one recites the Shema. In this regard, the Shema is the same as all other mitzvahs. In that sugya, and now we're not going to take up time going through the analysis of it, and the truth is I basically allowed Rabbi Soloveitchik to take me through it, and I quickly tried to check out the Makoros. It needs a lot more iyun. So I'm just going to give the finished product. And that is that it appears that from the way many Rishonim, not all, but many Rishonim, and this seems to be the approach of the Shulchan Aruch, that there's another Kavanah in Kriya Shema that's different from all other mitzvot in terms of what we mean by Kavanah. And that tension is created by what seems to be somewhat of a stira or a contradiction between two Seifim and Shulchan Aruch. And Simon Samach, the Shulchan Aruch, records a dispute whether Mitzvah Tzvich Kavanah or not. Yesh Omrim Ein Mitzvah Tzvich Kavanah, Yesh Omrim Tzvich Kavanah, and Echein Halacha, that you need Kavanah. So much for Sif David. In Sif Hey, Shulchan Aruch writes, Akorei Eshma V'lo Kivein Libo V'Potzik Rishon. This is the first time he makes a distinction between the first passage and all the other psukim in the Shema. Shehu Shema Yisrael, and I believe the Mishnah Berurah is here. What other poskim do that are also includes Baruch Shem Kavod Mechusam Avod as well. Well, Yotzei Dechavoso, you're not Yotzei. Vashar, I'm lo kivin libo afilo ayakori b'Torah. He quotes the example of the Mishnah. You're reading the Torah, Magia. You're trying to correct it, etc. So you're Yotzei. Provided you had Kavanah in the first Pasuk. So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is a contradiction. In Sif Dalet, he says, you need Kavanah, sounds like you need Kavanah for the whole Kriya Shema. In Sif Hey, he says, you need Kavanah, sounds like you need Kavanah for the first Pasuk. So there are other ways to get out of this contradiction, but the way that seems to be accepted, Lahalacha, which seems to be the position of the Rambam, and that's where Soloveitchik tries to prove it, both from the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, and also from the Mor Nevuchim, but that's not, we don't have time for that now, is that we're talking about two different kavanas, two different intentions. And that's exactly what the Art Scroll beautifully summarizes here. Sif Dalet is talking about kavanah to be Yotzei. Kavanah to be Yotze, you have to have in mind for the whole Kriya Shema. That's all a mitzvah. Whether it could be that only the first pasuk is Minat Torah, but the rest is a mitzvah derabanan. So you should have in mind to be Yotze the mitzvah throughout the whole Kriya Shema. Again, Bidi Eved, you could rely on that Chai Adam, that you're doing it in the context of mitzvah performance. So you Yotze that first Kavanah, even if you didn't have in mind in every single pasuk, or not even in any psukim. But in Sif Hey, when we speak about Kivein Libo, for the first pasuk is crucial. That's the kavana of Kabbalah Atzol Malchus Shemayim. The idea of Kriya Shema, the way the Mishnah Brachis, I think also that earlier Prokim, in the name I think of Rishon Ben Karcha, that why the first parsha come before the second parsha? Because the first parsha contains Kabbalah Atzol Malchus Shemayim. The second parsha contains Kabbalah Atzol Mitzvos. So these are extra types of kavanas. So here the Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate, according to that reading, that this concentration is crucial for the first pasuk alone. It's ideal for the rest as well, but it's crucial for the first pasuk alone. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah, in slightly different terminology, alludes to in Sifkat Zayin, where he writes that there are shnei kavanas yesh l'mitzvah aleph, kavanas alev l'mitzvah atzma. That's what we spoke about in the earlier part of the presentation. Aleph kavanas alev l'mitzvah atzma, ubeis kavanas lotzisba. Kavanah Latzisba is what we discussed all along, the idea of Minyotzi and Mitzvah. And then Kavanah Talev La Mitzvah Atzma. What is the Mitzvah? So the Mitzvah of Shema is to be Makabal Al-Machal Shemayim. And that's very unique. Because even though both the Midrashim and the Mekubalim and the Zohars, they have tons of reasons that are given for a variety of mitzvahs. Take Lula, for example. The eye, the heart, etc. Kol Atzmoise, Tamayin Hashem Yechamocha, Klal Yisrael, all coming together. If you have in mind none of those things when you're shaking a lulav, everyone agrees you're Yotzei. But one thing you have to have in mind, according to Chayyadim, even that you can get away with if you make a bracha before and if you're doing a mitzvah context, Yotzei the mitzvah. Even though there are reasons. When it comes to the Shema, shall we say, the reason behind the commandment is absolutely crucial. You have to have in mind what the purpose of this commandment is, namely to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. So the way Rav puts it, maybe we'll conclude with this, and Bez Hashem, next time maybe we'll just wrap up the idea of Kavanah in general and then try to move on to the text itself to try to see how this scene can be accomplished. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, in his very poetic way, he puts it so beautifully. Kavanah, while reading Shema, praying, we'll get to later, the second half, with current tefillah, there's a similar duality. Kavanah to be Yotzei tefillah and Kavanah to do what tefillah is supposed to do, which is serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not to be equated with ordinary intention. It is rather identical with meditation, spiritual surrender, or the turning and directing of the heart onto the Lord. For it is the heart and not the lips which is called upon to turn toward Hashem in the morning and in the evening. Most halachic authorities concur, as we already noted, that the technical reading of the Shema, or saying of the prayers, is not enough. The inward turning to Hashem is of utmost significance. Thus, the halacha teaches that if one fails to direct his heart unto Hashem while reading the Shema, his obligation remains unfulfilled, which is a summary of what we've been seeing up until now. Just to put it in more technical halachic terms, but it helps crystallize this idea, Rabbi Soloveitchik very often distinguished, based on the Brisker terminology, between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah. And the way he puts it in English in this work is the objective halachic norm and the subjective halachic norm. And what he means in layman's terms that I understand, at least judging the other paragraphs, is there's a formal act which doesn't necessarily have to be accompanied by inner thought. And then there's a kiyum which usually is identical with the formal act. But there are a few mitzvos that if you don't have both components, the formal act accompanied by a certain mental or emotional state, which he referred to as the kiyum ha-mitzvah, then you have not been yotzei the mitzvah. And he suggested that examples of that, two out of the three that we're going to discuss, tefillah is one of them. The act is saying words. The kiyum, the emotional state, is avodah shebelev. Shema, the act is saying words. The kiyum is a kabbalah kol malchus shemayim, an intellectual and an emotional acceptance of the divine yoke throughout our lives. And so too, he said, avodah is the same way. It has certain activities that you have to do and things that you're not allowed to do, but it's supposed to develop a certain mental state, what he called the kiyum. So whereas in most mitzvahs, the mice and the kiyum are identical, but concerning the mitzvahs of tefillah, whether it be the mitzvah of Kriya Shema or the mitzvah of tefillah itself, that second kavana, which he referred to as the kiyum mitzvah, in this case, Kabbalah Shlomo HaShemayim, is absolutely crucial, at least for the first passage.
Mark to the next Thursday. This is coming Thursday.